Hey, Dr. Randy here from the Intentional Living Center, continuing from our yesterday discussion about getting on the same page in your marriage, because a divided house is a painful place to live. Our country is divided, and we understand what's going on in our country on the big issues like abortion and guns and national debt and immigration and the political parties and everything going on. If you listen much, you get exhausted. And it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 12:25. Really, a house divided against itself cannot stand. That Abraham Lincoln was quoting scripture when he said that in 1885, or 58 rather, 1858. And so I want to we're just going to get really honest about what's going on in our homes today and how we can get on the same page if we feel like we're divided, for your kids, for yourself, for your peace, for unity, and maybe even for your physical health. All right. You're welcome to share your comments on our storyline at 888-888-1717. 888-888-1717 is the number. Let's go. Jen, first in Arizona. How are you today?
Hi, Dr. Randy. Hi. I'm so good.
Appreciate your call. What have you learned about getting on the same page?
I had to stop being his mom and be his wife.
Oh, you felt like a mom?
No, in my marriage, I would treat my husband as his mother would. And so what I mean by that is I wouldn't necessarily tell him what to do, but I thought it was my job to protect him from any form of, I don't know, hurt or disappointment or shame. And it wasn't really until the Lord revealed to me that I had to get out of the way and let him step into his role as lead and let the suffering kind of commence and just be there as a support. So,
did the suffering proceed?
It was received. I think it was more me. I was trying just to do my best to help him in every way. But I really had to learn that the way I helped my husband was by building him up. And so I even changed. It was funny because when he noticed it, I changed the name for him in my phone. I changed it to my $1 million man. And he even noticed that, and it spoke volumes to him. And so I just started filling his cup, you know, and speaking encouragement over him. Like, I know you can do this, or you're capable, or they don't know you like I know you. I know what you're capable of, what you've always been capable of, and just speaking life over him in that sense. And then, of course, praying for him unceasingly.
What difference has that made to him, do you think, and to your marriage?
I feel like it allowed him to trust me more, a lot more, and gave him confidence to come to me. Because before, he would try to keep me on the sidelines, and he didn't really care to hear how I felt about things. And I was always really hurt by it because I had never done anything to, like I said, to control him or anything. But it gave him confidence to come to me and ask for my opinion. And now he loves to hear what I have to say on things because he feels that I bring valid points sometimes or things he hasn't seen. Yeah. Or I help him see things in a positive light that maybe he hasn't seen it, because he has a more realistic, borderline pessimistic kind of view of things sometimes.
I hear you.
Which is good. You need that, you know?
Right.
He's the protector. Yep. So I want that in him.
How has it changed you?
It has taken so much pressure off me. I cannot tell you. So we've been married 10 years. We have children. And I just don't have to worry about so many things. And we're still very young. So I can't speak to other people who've been married like 20 years, 25, 30. But I just know he's got things. I love what you said earlier. Yesterday, I think God makes up the difference.
That's right.
And so it doesn't make my role any less. It just he's bigger, stronger, and built different than I am, both emotionally and mentally. And so I can just do my thing with the kids or at home and just kind of rest in his leadership. And it's fantastic. It's so wonderful.
That's great. It's an example too, Jen, that we can change. We can change our mind. We get an aha moment. That's what you had, an aha moment. And you applied that, and it changed your life, changed your marriage, and changed the trajectory of the future of your marriage.
It sure did. And it's amazing because my parents have come to really respect him differently as well, and his parents as well. And it's I don't know when it happened. I really bring it down to that. Because I always respected him. I always prayed for him. But it was really that mental shift when I started treating him and letting him take the lead and really not being afraid of letting the waves of suffering or failure hit him, just knowing that God would make the difference and lead him. And then it made a change all around. It changed the way he heard God. It changed the way God spoke to him. It changed the way he would pray. It changed the way he let other people speak to me. It changed the way he...
Oop. I think we had a little disconnect there on the phone. Thank you, Jen, for that call. I think we got it. Did you hear it? Everything changed. One decision. Listen, first step of intentional living, you got to make a decision. If you got up today and you're feeling lousy, you got to make a decision. How are you going to live today? Whatever happened yesterday happened. The question is, what are you going to do today? What we here at Intentional Living are all about one thing. I wear the little one thing wristband. What one thing you're going to do today can be different. If your marriage ain't working the way you want it to work, what one thing you're going to do? Jen said, hey, I had an aha moment. I realized I was treating him like a mother instead of his wife, and I changed. And on that day, whenever that was, she started encouraging him and building him up and doing what is important to her husband, and it changed her marriage. There's a ripple effect that goes into the family, goes in the parents looking in and saying, oh, I respect him more now. Do one thing today. Change one thing today to bring glory to God. It'll benefit your marriage. I promise you. All right. Let me get to Debbie, who's been waiting in Kansas. Hi, Debbie. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fine.
Appreciate your call. Where are you on this topic, your story on getting on the same page?
I am just tired of the little stuff, and I don't want to talk about the little things any longer. I don't care about the weather. I don't care about his coworkers. I want the important stuff to be talked to so we can have conversations that mean something.
What are some things, just topics you want to talk about?
Well, about a year and a half ago, he asked forgiveness for looking at porn.
Okay.
I blanketly forgave, but wanted to know details. And he has refused to tell me how long it's been going on, how often, any information.
Let me ask you, why is that important to you, Debbie?
It is important so I can have some kind of a closure. Like, when I've asked him, he said, so, I don't know. I feel like my heart is still open and bleeding.
Are you concerned that if he's not telling you about that, he's still involved?
And he told me he isn't, and he's not a liar.
All right. So
but
you believe
admission
him.
Of truth is also a lie. But
all right.
I don't know.
Okay. So this has been, that's the roadblock to deeper communication in your marriage, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. So
but
what if
much of a head person and I'm more of a heart person, and it just, I don't know.
What if he told you some things that you didn't know that surprised you? Would that make you happier, better, closer, or would it distance you even further?
At least it'd be in the light, and where the light is, the evil can't be.
So this is really important to you.
Your mind goes crazy.
Yeah. So you're really stuck at that point of, I got to know details.
Really stuck.
Yeah.
And I don't need to know all the details. I need to know some basic things. How long? We're going on, actually, it'll be Saturday. It'll be number 22 years. So I just find it silly. I don't understand.
Mm-hmm. You find it silly you need to know, or that he won't tell you?
That he won't tell me.
Okay. Well, since he's not on the phone with me, I don't know. I would ask him that. Why doesn't he want to tell you? Probably, I would guess, he's concerned about telling you things that'll make you more stuck. Because let me tell you my experience in working with people, Debbie, over the years. When this kind of thing happens, an affair, pornography, lying, whatever, it can get, you can get into a hole where there's never enough information, because one thing leads to another thing, leads to another thing, and leads to another thing. Now, I hear your heart, and you're being real transparent that you're feeling stuck. I get it. But at the same time, I'm wondering if he's concerned of, boy, I see how stuck she is. If I give her more stuff, she's going to get stuck even further. And so you're working through this process of forgiveness, which is a really hard thing to do, because we always say forgive and forget. Well, you can't forget. And I tell people, forgive and remember. Remember God's forgiveness to us. It's in the deepest sea. It's gone from the east to the west. And that's part of what you're working through, and I get it. Here's what I would encourage you to do. I would encourage you and your husband to get with a counselor together, or you alone, and work through this, what you're experiencing. Because if you had said to me, I really don't trust that he's out of this, I really don't trust him now, that would be a different discussion. But you're saying, I trust him, but I want to know more about what happened. I would just ask you to pray about and think about, Debbie, how much do you really need to know? And what values are going to be in the long run in your marriage and in your relationship?
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. Do you feel like you're spinning your wheels and not making any progress? In his message, Being Before Doing, Dr. Randy explores how to live an intentional life for Christ as we learn how to be before we do anything for God. With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets this message, along with unlimited access to Dr. Randy's exclusive content.
Let's be who Christ made us to be in order to do what Christ has asked us to do. And as we do that, that is what Intentional Living is all about.
So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources by calling 888-888-1717 today or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
All right. Listen, we're here. We love you guys. We want the best for you and your marriage. And the excerpt of teaching is part of what our series, we put on our featured teaching every month up on our website for our members. And we would love to have you be a part of this journey with us. And frankly, your financial support is what allows us to do this. Can't do it without you. And so come join us, your monthly support at theintentionallife.com, theintentionallife.com. Click on donate. Or you can call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717, to be a part of the ministry. Okay, push number two, by the way, and talk to our team.
Hi, I'm calling about living with a non-believer. I just wanted to let you know that I pray and I trust him with my husband's heart. He is the only one that wants heart. So I try to be a good example so that my husband is drawn to Jesus. And I pray that his heart is warm. I pray that 2 to 3 times a day. And I trust God with my husband. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Boy, listen, we get so many calls. Our comment lines are overflowing from day to day with your comments, and we love getting the chance to hear them. Keeps Stephen up at night, so it gives him something to do. When he can't sleep, go check the comment line, right, Stephen? So we love hearing from you. Okay, today, getting on the same page, David is next. David, what's your question?
Well, my question is that my wife and I are of different denominations. She goes to her church, and I go with her to her church quite often. When it comes to going to a church that I believe we should be going to, she hesitates and doesn't want to leave the church that she goes to. But I don't think that's really the difficulty that we're having. Difficulty that we're having is that whenever there's a decision that needs to be made, And I'll say one thing, and then she has her idea that how she would like things done. And I understand that each person has their own individuality, but when it comes to making decisions, I don't believe that she understands that I'm supposed to be the leader of the household, and she's not submissive to what my ideas are, and we struggle with different issues regarding that.
Well, I'm glad you turned the corner there, David, moved away from going to different churches as the problem when it's really you can't communicate and you can't come to an agreement. I encourage you to think about what Paul says in Ephesians 5, just before that passage on, you know, husbands love your wives and wives submit to your husbands. Paul says, submit to one another. And there's a powerful lesson there. And one of the things I've learned, David, I don't know you and your wife. If I sat down and we were counseling, I could go a little deeper. But just in general terms, good leaders draw out their followers and listen. Okay? In other words, I don't know why your wife thinks we should be going to this church versus that one. Or does she really know why you think this church has just become a battleground? And all of a sudden, it's I'm the leader. I'll tell you what, I have found people who say, I'm the leader, submit to me, lose every time. Because you know you're a leader when you look over your shoulder and somebody's following you. If you look over your shoulder, David, and your wife has gone somewhere else, then you ain't leading, okay? Now, she has to decide if she's going to follow or not, but it's up to you as a leader in the home to submit to one another. Your wife is smarter on some things than you are, and you're going to be smarter on some things than she is. And a wise leader is willing to bend and say, well, you know, you could be right, or let's try that, or let's experience this. Let's pray about it. Let's get before God together and see what God reveals to you and what God reveals to me. And then hopefully at the end of a healthy process in a marriage, it's possible for there to be that leadership role where the husband can stand up and say, I've prayed about it, we've looked at it, and this is what I'd like to see us do. And then we have to talk about, okay, are we going to submit? Is someone going to call the final shot on something when it comes? And this is true in the business. It's true in the ministry here. We got a ministry president, Evan Carlson, the ministry, he calls the shots. But one of the things I've seen about Evan is he gets a lot of input. He wants to know what people are thinking and what's going on. And then eventually when he has to say, okay, this is what we're doing, then we all have to fall in line and say, okay, that's where we're going. That's the way leadership works. That's the design. And so strong leaders, again, draw out their followers, listen to their followers, and are intentional in those leadership role. You might want to do a little more reading on that topic, David. All right, let's go on. Christina in New Mexico. Sounds like your issue is about money. First of all, how long have you guys been married?
Well, we've been married almost 20 years, and I'm a saver, and my husband is a spender. So that created a lot of issues in the beginning because we didn't know that was the title of what it was. I just didn't understand why he spent money all the time, and he didn't understand why I kept clutching the purse even tighter.
Mm. So when he was overspending, in your estimation, what did that do to you? How did you feel about that?
Well, I was just frustrated because my whole life, you know, I always saved. And I have the ability just to stumble onto good deals. And so when that would happen, my husband would think, well, we have to get it because that we may never find a good deal again. And so, you know, the Lord just really had to work on both of our hearts with him, learning that he will always provide and that the Lord is the true provider and that he'll always have a good deal somewhere. And for me, it was learning to honor my husband and that I wasn't his mother. The money was his also, and to not try to control him or control the money. And so that took many years and arguments to get to that point and not be upset.
Now, did you come to a point of crisis?
Yes, actually, we did. And we almost lost everything we had. You know, the job was gone, but there were still the bills that were there. And we had to solely rely on the Lord for absolutely everything. You know, we had five children, and so that was difficult, getting to that place where we trusted Him to be our provider and just to walk in His truth.
And so often when we do ministry, even in intentional living, we can focus on do this and do that, do this one thing for the next 30 days and focus on this one thing and do this one thing. And you know what? They will make a difference in our life. If you're nice to your wife, you're going to have a happier marriage, guys. If you take care of your body intentionally, you're going to probably live longer and be healthier. See, so being intentional does give us practical results in our life, but what's the purpose? What's the point? Why do we do it? Yeah, that's an excerpt from this lesson this month on being before doing based on the book of Ephesians, and it's up on our exclusive site, exclusive digital site just for members, and you get access through a code we'll send to you. Your members, you have it already, and if you join in, we make sure you receive it as well, so you can receive or get access to all the teaching for the last couple of years up on the site and the new things we put up there as well. Just give us a call, 888-888-1717 during West Coast business hours, or you can go online anytime to theintentionallife.com.
Well, I just wanted to share that my husband and I have been married for 26 years. And back in the beginning, I was a Christian, but not really walking out my faith. And my husband didn't have much of a faith at all. So as my faith began to grow and I really began to follow God, of course, I wanted my husband to come along with me. But I used to just tell him all the time, oh, you need to do this, you need to do that, and just really almost beat him over the head with it. I have a friend who woke me up because she's from Massachusetts, and she told me, now, Betty, don't try to be Holy Ghost Junior. And so what I learned was, through my reading of the scripture, I was really convicted that, yes, we're not meant to try to win them by words, but by our actions. And so I just let him see my love for Christ. And he wanted what I had in the end. And the best part of the story is, after 26 years, it just makes me cry. Last year, he accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior. And a friend gave me a scripture a long time ago. It was Acts 26:18. It says, I'm sending you to open their eyes and turn them from the darkness to the light and from the power of Satan to God, so we can take and have forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith. That's a great scripture. And, you know, for a long time I thought, well, it's not me he's sending. You know, and I used to pray that it would be one of his friends or somebody else. And would you believe that in the end, it was me? So my point in calling is to tell people, don't give up, but just keep your eyes on Christ.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you for sharing those stories with us. We love the stories here at the Intentional Living Center. All right, Michelle, you're going to wrap us up here today in New Mexico. Go right ahead. What's your story?
So I am married to a man who was raised, I guess, different than myself and most people that I know. They're raised, if you take medicine, you don't go to heaven because you're not putting your faith in God. So they're all born at home. He's never taken a Tylenol. Just things like that. I don't know. It's just hard. I just try to keep the peace, but I want for my family and my kids just to have a strong man ahead of our house. He cusses a lot, and there's just a lot he drinks, and of course I knew this stuff before I married him, and I just pray, and I just hope that God will change him, I guess. And I still haven't given up faith that it will change. It's just he doesn't attend church, he doesn't do anything, but he has such strong beliefs that were instilled in him.
Mm-hmm. Well, that happens. You know, we tend to, when we don't have a strong personal conviction and biblical basis, we fall back to tradition, we fall back to how we were raised and other things. I'm so sorry, Michelle. Everyone listening hears the disappointment in your voice. And then you slid in that little phrase that said, I knew all this before we got married. And so let me just put a parenthesis. When the scripture says, don't be unequally yoked together with a non-believer. That scripture is not there because you're better than the non-believer. Because we're all sinners saved by grace. Come on. That's in there because the goes on to say that what does darkness and light have in common? It's two different things, right? And when we're not in union, as the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? It creates the kind of reaction that you're experiencing, Michelle. So just a couple things as we wrap up the show for you. One is, understand you have disappointment. Disappointment hurts. You can either choose to live in your disappointment, which leads to feelings of loss. I think a lot of what we face in our lives are feelings of loss. We lost an opportunity. We lost time. We lost our health. We lost a marriage. Losses build up in our lives. And that's why I think sometimes those who are older people, come on, we refer to them as old and sour, right? Isn't that the phrase? Grumpy and sour. A lot of it is we get soured because we've had a whole lifetime of losses. And they start to collect in our lives. And so I would say to you, build your confidence in Christ, not in your husband. Build your confidence in Christ, not in your husband. Love your husband. Respect him. Hold him accountable when lines are crossed. Come on now. We're not designed to be stepped on or hurt and all those things that we've talked about. That's a given. But when it comes to having these differences in our relationship, we need to be confident enough to know who we are in Christ and then in turn, how to deal with those that we love in ways that sometimes require boundaries and confrontation and lines. That's part of it. All right, we're out of time today. Love to hear your comments. What do you all think about what we've talked about yesterday and today? What have you learned? How do you want to contribute? Tell us your story. Maybe we'll share some excerpts on an upcoming show. Give us a call, 888-888-1717, 888-888-1717. You want to know more about what this intentional living is all about? Come on over to our website at theintentionallife.com. Thank you, Jennifer, making everything move so smoothly, and Stephen for all the production and things he does behind the scenes, and Gino, thank you for your work, video recording some of the things that are being said to go up on our website. Hope you'll check it out there, as well as our podcast. If you want to hear this program again, it's available at our website and on podcast as well, wherever you get your podcast. I'm Dr. Randy. Have a great day. We'll see you next time right here from our Intentional Living Center.